One night, I had a dream. I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord, and across the sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints. One belonged to me and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in my life. This really bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why in times when I needed you most, you should leave me. The Lord replied,
Well, you see, that's when, you know, I... Oh, jeez. That's when, you see, my precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never, never leave you, during your times of trial and suffering. So, when you only saw one set of footprints, that's, that is when I carried you. All right, you're listening to Atheists at the Table on WHRW 90.5 FM, and that is our special take on the footprints in the sand poem that I'm sure everyone has seen at some point in their life. All right, and I just want to introduce myself. My name is Edwin, and I am your friendly neighborhood evangelical atheist, and sitting here to my left is...
Catherine, your hopeful agnostic.
And she, that's the voice you just heard. And across from me in Studio A, we have...
Paul, random guy A.
Okay. And...
Zach Corner, host of Tuesdays 4 to 4:30, Zach Corner, No Shtick Politics.
Zach Corner. Awesome. What was that you were holding up to show me?
Some article about atheism. I didn't really read it. I just thought it was the first thing I opened to.
Okay. That's good enough for me. Yeah. Okay, I hope everyone had a good week. We're back today. Today we're just going to be... There's actually a lot that happened in the past week, so I'm just going to read about that. First thing that most people probably heard about if they were following Proposition 8, that was the California Proposition 8, the California law allowing... There was a Supreme Court ruling that allowed same-sex marriages. Then all the religious people got together and said, that sucks, so we're going to create this Proposition 8, which is going to get rid of that. So this is an article from November 15th from the New York Times, Mormons tipped scale and ban on gay marriage. I'm just going to read a section from it, from Sacramento. Less than 2 weeks before Election Day, the chief strategist behind a ballot measure outlawing same-sex marriage in California called an emergency meeting here.
We're going to lose this campaign if we don't get more money.
The strategist, Frank Schubert, recalled telling leaders of Protected Marriage, the main group behind the ban. The campaign issued an urgent appeal, and in a matter of days it raised more than $5 million, including a $1 million donation from Alan C. Ashton, the grandson of a former president in the Mormon Church. The money allowed the drive to intensify a sharp-elbowed advertising campaign, and support for the measure was catapulted ahead. It ultimately won with 52% of the vote. As proponents of same-sex marriage across the country planned protests on Saturday against the ban, interviews with the main forces behind the ballot measure showed how close its backers believed it came to defeat, and the extraordinary role Mormons played in helping to pass it with money, institutional support, and dedicated volunteers.
We've spoken out on other issues. We've spoken out on abortion. We've spoken out on those other kinds of things, said Michael R. Otterson.
The managing director of public affairs for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as the Mormons are formally called, in Salt Lake City.
But we don't get involved to the degree we did on this.
The California measure, Proposition 8, was to many Mormons a kind of firewall to be held at all costs. I was pissed. I don't know about you guys, but I was pissed when that came through. I was watching the CNN counter on their website. I was watching that all night. I was probably more engrossed in that than I was watching to see if Obama or McCain won. And when I saw Proposition 8 get passed, I was sad. I was sad. Oh, how'd you guys feel about that?
Definitely. Yeah.
I was shocked. I thought before that it had no chance, and then it was pointed out to me that it isn't only evangelicals; it's African Americans and Hispanics as well that are very against it. And I just thought that, you know, California has been really basically the forerunner of liberalism in the 20th century. And for this to happen was just sort of a step back when I thought the gay rights movement was only stepping forward at this point in time.
I think they're still they're moving forward. They're moving in the right direction. You know, mm-hmm. they get a little, it gets taken away, but at least they're moving forward. In some very small and kind of backwards way. But I was really depressed.
I'm also annoyed that the Mormon Church still has a tax exemption, but it's having its fun in politics, so it shouldn't.
That's a good point.
I'm not certain about that.
Thing on religious institutions to me is a joke. I don't understand in the first place. And there are all these regulations in terms of churches and how and what they can do in terms of endorsing a candidate. But I mean,
that's right. You weren't here. We talked about tax exempt status for churches a couple of weeks ago. Actually, I think the show before you came on, we had a conversation with a guy named Chris about that, and I couldn't decide my opinion on it. I believe it was Justin, who's missing this week, was telling us about churches like African American, Native American churches that really don't have any money, and if they were taxed at all for their property, they would not be able to function as a church because, you know, they're not for profit. And I was wondering what's your opinion on that?
My opinion is that it's absolutely ridiculous that they are an organization that not only preaches politics, but goes out there and sometimes in events seeks a profit. I mean, do you remember the televangelists of the 80s and the 90s being turned over as frauds and just going out there profit seeking? You know, a church is a service like anything else. And just because it's under the notion that it's somehow holy or religious or spiritual, that doesn't mean that it should be tax exempt.
Well, I think that's not the reason that it's tax exempt. It's tax exempt under the fact that it's a not-for-profit institution. You know, supposedly they go out and they feed the poor and things like that.
Well, in the case of the Christian Church, isn't that like a multi-billion dollar idea, corporation, whatever?
To be not-for-profit, ultimately, the organization itself can't walk away with any money. That doesn't mean your priest can't.
How does the Catholic Church retain its immense wealth?
It keeps it in a vault in Vatican City.
No, I mean, like that's a. I was just thinking, like, how does the church has fundraisers? Never mind, that was a stupid question. Sorry.
That dues there.
Yeah,
I mean,
I haven't been to church in so long. I just didn't remember the fundraising.
I mean, and the sheer amount of property they have. I think they have over $1 billion in art alone. So they have just so much that even with inflation over the few hundred years, they're still doing pretty well. Plus, having close to 1 billion people, you know, chipping in even a couple bucks a year will certainly help fundraising for any organization.
True.
Plus, Catholics are a little more hardcore on the whole 15% tithing thing, aren't they? You know, they're the ones that started it all.
I've never heard of that before. I care to explain.
I don't know. When you said vault, the image of Scrooge McDuck jumping in a giant vat of coins came to mind.
I just picture, like, Da Vinci Code. The book, not the movie.
That's true. Yeah.
I had weird images in my head when I read that book. Like, pictures of not Da Vinci Code. I read Angels and Demons also, and Angels and Demons, like, they talk about this, you know, the burial mound of Saint Peter underneath the Vatican. And I was picturing like this huge, massive cavern underneath the Vatican with like this huge hill where there's just like this little like sarcophagus sitting right there, and I'm doing motions with my hands that no one can see.
I saw it. It's okay. It's,
like, the Cave of Wonders from Aladdin?
Yeah.
Yes, precisely. Exactly. Exactly. That's what I saw. You know, I'm actually going to go a little off topic here. Do any of you guys read, like, blogs on anything?
On occasion, I stumble on them.
I read, there's, like, 3-4 blogs that I read really consistently. I read The Atheist Experience, I read Ferengula, and Kefir Girl.
I know two of those.
Which ones?
Ferengula and Atheist Experience.
Did you read about it's a frackin' cracker, all the issues that were going on with the consecrated host?
I don't think so.
This was a big deal in the, I guess, the secular community of seculars who actually care about this crap. A kid, this was, I guess, at the beginning of the summer, at the end of spring this year, a kid was asked by his friend, who wasn't a Catholic. His friend said, "Hey, I've never seen a consecrated host. You know, I don't know what these crackers are. I've been reading about them. Do you think you could get me one just to show me?" So the Catholic guy, he says, "Yeah, no problem." So he goes to the Catholic church. He stands in line. He goes and he gets the wafer and he puts it in his pocket and he tries to leave. He gets restrained by a whole bunch of people. And basically, he was going, I mean, you would think he'd be the one to press charges, right? No, the Catholic Church wanted to press charges on him. Guess for what? Guess what they like
this to. Petty larceny.
No. Try again.
Desecration, vandalism?
Kidnapping.
Kidnapping.
Of what?
The holy...
It's the holy body spirit? Of Christ.
Oh, man. Oh, Jesus.
Remember,
wow, that's...
Catholics believe in something called transubstantiation.
Oh, wow.
So where it actually turns into the body of Christ. This is, right after it gets into your stomach. But...
I thought they were finished with that idea of, I mean, back in the Middle Ages, was
no,
it?
No, that was limbo they got rid of.
No.
They're still doing the transubstantiation thing.
That, I mean, the prosecution for it, because I remember, I think that back in the Middle Ages, I read a story somewhere where they went into a town and killed everybody that broke a cracker or something like that.
Yeah, actually, when this whole firestorm was going on, I read about it mostly through Ferengula because he wrote this like really long, pissed-off post about it called It's a Frackin' Cracker, if you look it up. And yeah, all the Catholic people were sending stories from the Middle Ages where the Catholic Church went after Jews for like taking the consecrated host, and like they would like drive nails through it, and stories about how the cracker would suddenly start bleeding and...
Mm-hmm.
Really, yeah. Really cool right. Stuff. I mean,
oh yeah,
make for a really good movie, but
yeah, some crazy Hollywood effects right there.
Yeah, seriously.
I really hope they're kidding with that kidnapping. I just
well, that's
see
what
they
liken
they
to, but they're not. They're not
anything.
Going to actually charge him on kidnapping. They're charging him on a hate crime, but they're likening it
wow.
to. They're likening it to kidnapping. They're like, how would you feel if someone you know took one of your loved ones away from you? And it's are you freaking kidding me? And I love
My Invisible Girlfriend.
Yeah, it's right. the great way to think about this, I think, is, are you serious? Your God is so weak and impotent that he gets, he knew, and he's also, he knows everything, so he knew he was going to go into a cracker, and I can just take him and put him in the trunk of my car and basically keep God hostage forever. It's very, like the movie Dogma.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, but I mean, then again, if you're going to get angry at a kid for stealing a wafer... I guess you're going to have to make up something ridiculous in order to justify that. I really don't understand. It's just preposterous. Yeah.
So this guy, P.Z. Myers, who writes for Angula, he got a whole bunch of people to send him consecrated hosts, and he took it, he drove a rusty nail through it, he tossed it in the garbage with pages from the Quran and pages from the God Delusion, and threw some coffee grinds and a banana peel on top of it. And the banana peel, for any of you out there keeping track, is, of course, the atheist nightmare, according to Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron.
All right.
Look up the atheist nightmare on YouTube with the one that says Ray Comfort.
You ever go to GodTube.com?
GodTube.
GodTube. Come that is a funny site. If you ever go there, they have some really, really excellent... silly videos of people disproving evolution and gravity and
with peanut butter
and proving to all of us that God is real.
Oh
and
my God! What the peanut
one.
Butter? I
never heard of peanut butter. I heard of
I've
I heard
seen the
of,
peanut butter video.
I heard of the I saw Ray Comfort and his ridiculous banana. That one still blows my mind.
I saw the peanut butter, the atheist nightmare. It hurt. The stupid hurt. It was incredible. Basically, the whole argument was, you know, evolutionists say that life came from non-life. It just appeared. So we've got this hermetically sealed peanut butter container. When I open it up, I should see lots of things crawling around inside. And then he opens up the fresh, you know, the sealed
Jiffy
thing.
Yeah.
He opens it up and he shows it to the camera like, see? I just proved evolution is wrong because there's nothing crawling around. And he's like, you can take a microscope to this and you'll never find anything. And there's hundreds of these on the walls of supermarkets everywhere and you never find anything in there. And
there's so many
I didn't
things
even
wrong
know where...
with that. It's just like looking at your room when it's so messy and saying, where do I even start? First of all, peanut butter was alive, so I don't know what he's talking about. Peanuts were alive. Secondly... there are things in there after he opens it up. And thirdly, no scientist ever said that life arose from peanut butter, and no evolutionist ever said that it just appeared. So I don't understand where he's going with that.
He's mixing up creationism and like the creation story and where how species came about. Evolution and the beginning of life are two different things.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm going back to the cracker thing. I'm considering going with my friend to one of these Catholic churches, a local Catholic church. Anyone who wants to join us, come on in. I'm going to bring with me. We're going to go up. We're going to go and get a consecrated host, and we're going to step off to the side with it in our hand as if we're going to eat it. And then we're going to take out one of those little travel Philadelphia cream cheeses and one of those little travel Knott's Berry Farm jelly things and just put it on, put a little jelly on, a little plastic knife.
Making Jesus taste all the more better.
And we're probably going to have a cat film it for us. So that should be fun. Oh, by the way, I just realized I haven't given out the number. If anyone wants to get in on the conversation with us, the phone number here at the studio is 607-777-2137. I'll say that slower this time. The number is 607-777-2137. There's actually only five numbers in there that aren't sevens. So, yeah. Anyway, you can also reach us here in the studio on AOL Instant Messenger, where our screen name is WHRW Music. Again, that's WHRW Music. And also on our email account, atheisttable@gmail.com. All right. And everyone remember the E comes before the I in atheist, despite what your English teacher told you. So, yeah. Let's see. This article looks boring, so I'm not going to read that one. I changed my mind. Basically, a secular man won the election as mayor in a small town in Jerusalem, and he's an atheist. And he won, and that's going to change everything, because the guy who was very ultra-Orthodox sucked, and they pushed him out of office.
Those ultra-Orthodox people, they are very rarely brought up in these atheist discussions on how crackpot they are, but some of the stories I've heard of, like, the buses in Jerusalem or in Israel, wherever it is, I believe, are run by the Orthodox Jews, and men and women have to sit separately, and women have to sit in the back. It's like almost like a Rosa Parks thing. And, I mean, thankfully he won. And Israel, for all those who don't know, is a very secular state. It's much more secular than our own. But there does happen to be a large Orthodox majority in the political sphere that do have a good bit of power.
Cool. Now we've got an article from Britain. This sounds pretty interesting. This is today the 19th? Today's still the
19th? 19th, yes.
This is from today's paper in the New York Times. It's called Britain Grapples with Role for Islamic Justice by Elaine Scaiolino. No idea how to say that. Anyway, London. The woman in black wanted an Islamic divorce. She told the religious judge that her husband hit her, cursed her, and wanted her dead. But her husband was opposed, and the Islamic scholar adjudicated the case. Seemed determined to keep the couple together. Excuse me, sorry. So, sensing defeat, she brought out her secret weapon, her father. In walked a bearded man in long robes who described his son-in-law as a hot-tempered man who had duped his daughter, evaded the police, and humiliated his family. The judge promptly reversed himself and recommended divorce. This is Islamic justice, British style. Despite a raucous national debate over the limits of religious tolerance and the preeminence of British law, the tenets of Sharia, or Islamic law, are increasingly being applied to everyday life in cities across the country. The Church of England has its own ecclesiastical courts. British Jews have their own Beth Din courts for more than a century. But ever since the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Most Reverend Rowan Williams, called in February for aspects of Islamic Sharia to be embraced alongside the traditional legal system, the government has been grappling with a public furor over the issue, assuaging critics while trying to reassure a wary and at times disaffected Muslim population that its traditions have a place in British society. Boxed between the two, the government has taken a stance both cautious and confusing, a sign of how volatile almost any discussion of the role of Britain's nearly 2 million Muslims can become. There's nothing whatever in English law that prevents people abiding by Sharia principles if they wish to, provided they do not come into conflict with English law, the Justice Minister, Jack Straw, said last month. But he added that British law would always remain supreme and that, regardless of religious belief, we're all equal before the law. And you can read the rest of the article at nytimes.com if you are so interested. That was Britain Grapples with Role for Islamic Justice.
You an excellent impression of Dawkins, actually.
Thank you. I was trying to do Jack Straw, but...
Oh, last week it was the same voice, and last week you were reading Dawkins.
Oh, okay.
Just as long as you don't do the girl voice ever.
The girl voice?
Ever again.
I do a girl voice?
It gave me nightmares.
Yeah, exactly. just never imitate female. If you need me to read it, I'll read it.
Okay, I'll do that. the Muslims are really causing a poop storm all across Europe. You've heard a lot of the issues in France and Paris, how they've been like rioting and like mm-hmm. asking for special privileges in Catholic schools. I know that in the Scandinavian countries, I forget exactly which one of the Scandinavian countries,
Denmark,
is that the one? They've been causing an uproar, and not just about the cartoon.
That's what I thought you were bringing up. Then
they're asking for special privileges everywhere, and now in Great Britain also, it's just. It's a bit much, and it's kind of ridiculous. Oh, yeah, I'm just being reminded that at this point I should probably put in a disclaimer. This program may contain language or material that may be considered offensive. The views expressed of those of the engineer and their guests and may not reflect the views of the management or other WHRW station members. Therefore, we advise you to carefully consider whether you or your children should listen. Okay, continuing with the fact that...
Poopstorm reminded me.
With the fact that fundamentalist Islam is absolutely insane, and if there were some effective form of thought crime legislation and way to protect that, like a minority report, any kind of fundamentalism, I'd probably support that, because that's just there's nothing more dangerous than fundamentalism.
I mean, it's funny how much these countries are being pushed around, these European nations, by the two sides.
Get the phone.
Sure.
We found out today we can actually do it in there, and I'll just, there we go. Okay.
Oh, anyway, yes.
Sorry.
So what I was going to say was that they're fighting two people. They're fighting the Muslims, who you know aren't going to budge, and they're also fighting these highly like multicultural liberalists that want to say that anybody is free to practice whatever religion they want, and anytime it's an issue of Britain or any other European nation saying no. Do we have a caller on the line? Is that what's going on?
Okay, just one second. I'll get him on the line.
Yeah, so what I was saying is I don't believe that Britain should keep appeasing. I think that what they need to do is to have a hard line and stop this and stop having people push them around.
I agree. Actually, I don't know if you've heard, just real quick before we get to the caller, the Muslims are pushing the UN for a global ban on blasphemy. I'm trying to find the article here, but I don't know if you've heard about that.
And this is why we are lucky that the UN has absolutely no power, because they did. Oh boy.
Oh boy. Okay, hold on. We're getting to our caller right now. Hello, caller.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I usually enjoy your show, boys. It's very entertaining. I'm a SUNY alumnus myself. But your little plan to go into a Catholic church and take the host and nibble on it with peanut butter, that's kind of really a rude, rude thing to
do. Oh, no, I'm allergic to peanut butter. We'll be using cream cheese. I'm sorry, just
would
a little
it
joke.
Nice if I went in to, say, the synagogue and peed on the Torah? It wouldn't. I wouldn't even suggest that.
Well, one is defamation of property versus the other is eating of food that was meant to be eaten.
It's one of the highest symbols of the Catholic Church and one of the most sacred, and it would be so very, very rude.
It's technically...
The students of this university are supposed to be some of the smartest in the United States, and I would expect that of the geeks, too.
It's technically supposed to be part of a larger film project that we want to put together. So it has some purpose. It probably doesn't make it any better in your sight.
Why don't I have an idea? If you decide to do it, please don't go into a real church. make up a mock church over at the Anderson Center, and then you can get it on film. Okay?
Okay, we'll consider that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, okay. I think this whole thing goes back to Richard Dawkins' argument that religion, sort of like politics, should not necessarily be so sacred in terms of bringing it up in a discussion. Now that's different from here. Now that I think about it, I suppose going on to the territory of the of a Catholic and defiling whatever they're doing is a bit rude, in the sense that we on this show, from what I've heard and what I've been on, we're always preaching that have your religion, believe in whatever you want, and keep it to yourself. And I do understand the argument that we would be a little bit hypocritical in doing that.
I was never intending to disrupt the service if that was the intention. It was just getting the authenticity of it and just kind of playing along that effect. I wasn't planning on disrupting the service at all. That would just be rude. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't want someone coming into the radio station and interrupting us, you know. So I don't know if that makes it any better for our caller, but that wasn't part of the plan. Do we have any comments before I move on?
No, sir.
Nope.
Okay, cool. I've got... Let's see. Oh, this is actually from August, but I was talking about this with Mike, who is also missing today. And the title is Atheists Bond During Debaptism. Non-believers say they need to show their numbers.
Is that the link I sent you?
Is that the one? Yeah, you sent it to me.
Yeah, I sent it.
That's how I got it. Okay, so you know about this also. Cool. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking that this university is trying to get together a secular student alliance, and I think that this is a really nice, peaceful, it doesn't fall into that militaristic atheist...
Militant,
thank you. Militant atheist mind frame, you know, or the way anyone could spin it as being a militant atheist. I just think it'd be a really cool way for atheists and non-believers just to get together and kind of do a community building exercise. I'm just going to read the article. It's pretty short. It's for just real quick. It's from the Columbia Dispatch, August 3rd, 2008. Belief in God symbolically evaporated when more than 100 atheists were, quote, debaptized with a blow dryer yesterday. Organizers of the event in Westerville, described as a coming out party for atheists, agnostics, and humanists, served root beer and crackers with peanut butter and honey to top off the late afternoon ceremony. Do you agree that the magical potency of today's ceremony is exactly equal to the magical efficacy of ceremonial baptism with dihydrogen oxide? And do you agree that the power of all magical ceremonies is non-existent? Frank Zindler, president of American Atheists, said to launch the debaptism. After a resounding amen from the audience, the first person in line yelled, "Dry me, brother! I'm free!" The crowd laughed as each person squeezed his or her eyes shut and walked underneath the blow dryer. It sounds perhaps frivolous, but it's a very serious thing, Zindler said before the ceremony. The event is more of an invitation to a revolution, more than a party in a sense. Until we come out of the closet and let people know our numbers, politicians think that they can ignore us. Jillian Pfeiffer, 25, became more vocal about being an atheist after she said she was fired in the fall from a Columbus truck dealership because of her atheism. It's the last form of discrimination that's still acceptable, Pfeiffer said.
Ugh.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't realize until it was too late.
Let her read it just for the hell of it.
Okay, come over. Next part. Just right there.
This is showing those who aren't religious that there are other social groups. I'm not going to pretend I'm religious so I can be part of a group.
She said before giving water bottles to four protesters. The protesters from Worthington Christian Church stood outside with signs that read, "God loves you," and "You matter to God." They're making a decision that there's life without God, and we're concerned about it, protester Matt Leiser said. Don Sutterfield, 28, said he was studying to become an apologist for Christianity before he decided that Christianity wasn't rational. Although he doesn't hide his beliefs, he usually avoids the term atheist when he meets people. It invites people to have overly simple stereotypes, he said. They believe we're moral relativists who don't believe in truth. The Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life's most recent survey found that 1.6% of Americans describe themselves as atheist, 2.4% call themselves agnostic, and 12% said that they are nothing in particular. The deep baptism doesn't have any magical or supernatural aspect, event organizer Ashley Paramore said. It's just symbolic in a way to out themselves. I'm sorry, I tried to be less female on that one because it came up quick. And I just think that is a great idea. And this number of... So basically, it's about 15% of Americans are non-religious. That's what we found out, which...
More than most minorities.
Yeah, there's more non-religious people than there are Jews in this country.
And thankfully, I think that number is a bit of an underestimation because I don't know how they derive their numbers, but especially for people on the fence in areas that are very religious, probably coming out, quote-unquote, coming out as an atheist or an agnostic is not smart. And so I would imagine that number is closer to 20% in actuality.
I'd say out of... People who are, you know, talking from a philosophical standpoint of people who are, whether or not they say that they believe it, even if they think that they believe it, people who are actually atheists, when it comes down to the nitty gritty of it, I'd say that number jumps up. Just from my conversations with people and stories I've read about people and poetry I read from people.
Confirmation bias.
I don't know. I think that there's probably a lot more atheists than we think, especially in the Bible Belt. Down there where
they're hidden, yeah.
Yeah, you'd have serious repercussions for coming out as an atheist. I just think it's probably a lot more than we think. And what do you guys think about doing this on campus?
I think it's a little silly. I think it would be a lost cause here.
At a
liberal university in New York like Binghamton, honestly, from the people that I've spoken to, I can say that about 50% of my friends don't identify with the religion. So I think this would be a little bit of a lost cause. But maybe doing it at more religious universities or more southern universities would certainly be a little bit more useful, I would say.
I agree.
Would you consider it like militant atheist? Do you think it's like an attack on religion?
No, I don't remember where I read this, but something about, you know, atheism will never really get too big in this country because how will we unite Christianity, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Islamism will always have groups to unite while atheism won't have a group because we're just against belief. So, you know, if it's belief that unite people, not having a belief certainly won't. And hopefully that's not the case. And I am definitely for any secular or atheist student organization on campus.
As cheesy as this might sound, I mean, just because we're atheists doesn't mean that we don't have a belief in like people as a whole or in the good that humanity can do. So, I mean, I hope that people realize that just because we don't believe in a God doesn't mean we don't have belief in something, belief in self, belief in others.
I mostly agree, except that knowing some social psychology, it's usually a bad idea to have large groups because then some ideas get hidden because people like try to follow the group.
Yeah.
So in an ideal free thought society, you wouldn't have so many like large groups of people.
Well, if the large group were to do anything, I remember seeing a few articles on surveys that were taken for the least trusted minority in the country. And What do you think it is? Well, it's not African Americans, it's not gays, it's
not even Muslims.
Not even Muslims. I forgot about that.
There's a better chance of getting a gay Muslim into office than there is of getting a white waspy atheist in.
Right, precisely. I guess it would just be a WASD because he wouldn't be Protestant anymore, but
maybe it was
a Waza or whatever. Anyway, so I think that a large group showing that, well, atheists do have morals, we're not just a bunch of murderers and rapists or, you know, godless people, a large group would be the best way of showing that. Although I do agree with your point that was some of our ideas would maybe be lost as as a large group.
I just think it would be a good idea, you know, just to mobilize ourselves in
don't
politics.
Use mobilize when you're trying to tell people you're not militant.
Okay, that's a good point. Speaking of mobilization, no, I'm kidding. Speaking of community organizing within
Barack Obama.
Oh God! As it came out, I realized that was probably not the right thing to say. Speaking of atheists coming together to work together to get our message out and try and get people, I guess, out of the closet, as is the term now. I guess we're being compared to gays. or the gay rights movement, I should say. That came out wrong.
Some people don't know the difference.
Okay. I don't know if anyone heard about this. I think I mentioned it on the show a week or two ago, that in England, they were doing bus ads that says... There probably is no God, so stop worrying and just enjoy your life. And they put that on the side of both buses, and that was their campaign, the humanist campaign. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff. There's actually two things going on in America. There's billboards that actually, they said that they're going to debut them during the holidays. I saw one of these in either New Jersey or Philadelphia that says, "Don't believe in God, you are not alone." And then it gives you a website that you can go to. And I thought that this, when I saw that, like, my heart welled up with joy and things like that. So I'm just going to really quickly just read a selection from this article that says, "Atheist billboards to debut during holidays, message questions existence of God." This is from the 7 News Reporter in Denver. "A controversial billboard will likely be popping up in a neighborhood near you, just in time for the holidays. The billboard is paid for by a Colorado atheist group. The message sits against a blue sky backdrop and says, 'Don't believe in God? You're not alone.' 10 billboards will pepper Metro Denver, while one will be put up in Colorado Springs. And we're putting them up in November and December because of the holidays, when church and state issues tend to come up a lot," said Joel Guttermson with Metro State Atheists. "To let non-believers, freethinkers, and atheists know that they are not alone, especially in a country like ours that is predominantly Christian." Pastor Willard Johnson of Denver's Macedonia Baptist Church called the billboards a desperate effort to discredit Christianity. "The Bible is being fulfilled. It says that in latter days, you have all these kinds of things coming up, trying to disrupt the validity of Christianity," Johnson said. "If they don't believe in God, how do they believe they came about? We denounce what they are doing, but we do it with love, with gentleness, with decency, and with compassion." Bob Enyart, a Christian radio host and spokesman for American Right to Life, said it's hard to ignore the evidence. "The Bible says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence! If we ignore the evidence for gravity or the Creator, that's really dangerous," said Enyart. "Income tax doesn't not exist because someone doesn't believe in it. And the same is true with our Creator." The billboards will go up on November 17th. The atheist group called Colorado Coalition of Reason, or COCOR, also wanted to put up signs in Fort Collins and Greeley, but a billboard company there refused to carry the message. Johnson said atheism is a rebellion against biblical principles, and the billboard will likely offend many Christians. COCOR said this is about First Amendment rights. And I've read the First Amendment up and down, and nowhere does it say that I have to care about your feelings. We're either 10 to 16% of the population, and the reason we don't really know is because people are scared to come out because they're ostracized by people around them," said Guttermson.
Okay, I just gotta say, if you say something doesn't exist, something might exist, something does exist even if you don't believe in it, it can be turned around to say just because you believe in something doesn't mean that it exists. So, is that one of your logical fallacies, Edwin?
Well, it's not one of my logical fallacies, it's a logical fallacy.
I'm saying,
fallacy.
Like, is that,
I'm not sure if that, I would have to look it up. I'm not up on that. I've never actually taken a philosophy course. I just read about it on the internet.
Oh, there's a nice list of logical fallacies on Wikipedia and other websites.
Yeah, I know. I've got them saved. I'm like working my way through, and I'm like
that and biases and all kinds of really cool things like that.
When I was freaking out in the office right before the show, and I'm like, these people, do they ever take a freaking English class? Because the subtitle of the article is "Message Questions Existence of God." I'm sorry, it's two sentences, just a few words. "Don't believe in God, you're not alone." What? Where does that question the existence of God? It's asking someone, if you don't believe in God, then you're not alone. It doesn't say,
no, it's true.
Is there a God?
It's making an inference that's accurate, but yeah, I understand your point.
It pissed me off,
to say
the
least. Can I go back to the whole thing? You made a comparison with the whole coming out. And I would like the atheist movement to avoid what the gay movement has done, which the gay movement, unfortunately, everybody who comes out then defines themselves as gay, and unfortunately they define themselves as gay very narrowly. And if atheists are to be accepted, they need to be accepted under the premise that, we're normal people too who are just like you, like everything that you like, except we don't believe in God. And if we're going to go about defining ourselves as you know, narrowly atheist, like, you know, some in the gay pride movement divide themselves as narrowly gay, then I don't think we're going to do so well.
Hmm. At the same time, have you heard of the Richard Dawkins Out campaign with the Scarlet Letter of Atheism? No, not necessarily the Brights, but just that there's this logo. It's a red scarlet A with a fancy lettering. And, you know, you put it on, like, your car, or you put it on, I guess, your dorm room door, or some people have gotten tattoos of it. And it just identifies you as an
atheist. I was just
going to
say, anyone who knows their literature, it's like...
Scarlet Letter, adultery.
Scarlet Letter,
yeah.
Richard Dawkins is very well read. I'm sure that didn't pass him by him.
It would just be weird for a
Well, it doesn't say on it Scarlet Letter of Atheism. It's just a red A.
Right, yeah.
I think you may have been taking the book itself. If anybody doesn't know the book, I'll just get
it. Also reminds me of the Anarchy A.
Well, I mean, basically, the A is put on this woman's vest because she's an adulterer, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the A is the way of the society ostracizing her. And so, this is sort of a satire on that, I suppose.
Yeah. I was just saying it would be funny for a girl, I guess. Not funny, but it would just be a little, like, awkward.
Well, either way, especially in these times where... I guess where it's hard to know who's atheist, who's not. How do you feel about this out campaign that's being run?
I believe in an out campaign, but I don't believe that atheists should go around, you know, shaking people's hands and saying, "I'm Zach, I'm Edwin, I'm, you know, whoever, I'm an atheist." I think we should come out with it, be, I suppose, proud of it, but try not to narrowly define ourselves.
I was just going to say, shouldn't have ourselves be defined as, this is me, I'm atheist, and then here's the rest of me.
From the actual webpage, outcampaign.org, it says, the introduction is, "Atheists have always been at the forefront of rational thinking and beacons of enlightenment, and now you can share your idealism by being part of the Out campaign. Atheists are far more numerous than most people realize. Come out of the closet. You'll feel liberated, and your example will encourage others to come out too. Don't out anybody else. Wait for them to out themselves when they are ready to do so. The Out campaign allows individuals to let others know that they are not alone. It can also be a nice way of opening a conversation and helping to demolish the negative stereotypes of atheists. Let the world know that we are not about to go away, and that we are not going to allow those that would condemn us to push us into the shadows. As more and more people join the Out campaign, fewer and fewer people will feel intimidated by religion. We can help others understand that atheists come in all shapes, sizes, colors, and personalities. We are laborers and professionals. We are mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, sisters, brothers, and grandparents. We are human. We are primates. And we are good friends and good citizens. We are good people who have no need to cling to the supernatural. It is time to let our voices be heard regarding the intrusion of religion in our schools and politics. Atheists, along with millions of others, are tired of being bullied by those who would force their own religious agenda down the throats of our children and our respective governments. We need to keep out the supernatural from our moral principles and public policies. It's time to step up and stand out."
It seems like certainly a good ideal, and Richard Dawkins happens to be, you know, maybe the authority in the world today on atheism. How well that's going to go, I don't know. You know, I think most of the atheism, certainly how I myself became an atheist, is through the internet. And I think maybe it'll be a weird type of, you know, cultural phenomenon that atheism becomes acceptable and people hear about it through the internet, not through other sources that other movements have come about.
Mm. Well, I'm kind of hoping it goes the right way. I'm thinking about getting one of the bumper stickers never mind, I'm not paying shipping and handling. I'm just going to print it out from the website and post it on my door, on my dorm room door.
And also just advertise your show. That's good enough.
Yeah, that too. I mean, some people really are genuinely uncomfortable with outing themselves as an atheist, and I think it would be a good way to let people know that you're a person that they can come to talk with about it, especially as I'm supposed to do the talking to residents thing.
A lot of people, a lot of those atheists that don't want to come out, they're sort of afraid that they sort of limit their friends' chances, like how many people they can become friends with, like as soon as they make it official. Like, you can miss out on a lot of people just by singling yourself out like that, and some people are afraid of that idea.
Hmm.
Well, and some people don't, quote unquote, again, to come out the atheism closet for good reason. I remember seeing a video about some girl, and I don't know where it was, but her whole family was atheist, and she played on the basketball team. And before every practice and after every game, the whole team engaged in the Lord's Prayer. And eventually she was kicked off the team. And she says that it was because of her, you know, her atheism and her refusal to participate in the Lord's Prayer. And the school, of course, said something else. And, you know, it became a whole big deal. And the girl was ostracized from the team, et cetera. Like I said, kicked off the team. So, you know, so some people do overreact to the atheism thing. And the reason why I brought up the internet is because unlike, you know, before the internet, you couldn't just go out there and, you know, reach out. If I lived in Kansas with a very Christian family, I couldn't just go out there and find an atheist that's open and about. While, you know, through the internet, I could find somebody like myself who's in New York and willing to talk about the subject.
Speaking of that, actually, a bit of a personal story here. Kat, you said you don't mind, right?
No, I'm good.
Okay. For those of you who don't know, Catherine is my girlfriend, and her family was very happy to accept me into their home, as, you know, real, real excited about the whole thing, until this summer, when they found out through conversation that I'm an atheist, of course, who has no moral principles and all that good stuff. And apparently, I'm no longer quite as welcome in the house. I mean, I'll still be allowed in the doorway, but the smiles won't be so toothy anymore. The eyes won't be so bright when they see me.
What religion is your family?
My father was raised Baptist, and that's the preside. My mother was raised Catholic. My father was raised Baptist, and my mom agrees more with the Baptist point of view.
Yeah, so that's and they're moderates. So that shows you again religious moderate
living in New York.
Yeah, right. Buffalo,
right? Yeah. See, and Buffalo and New York are one of the more liberal states. So just imagine redoing this at Alabama State, and, you know, seeing that you won't be welcome.
I mean, that's the thing. It's not like they're barring him from entering the house, or you know, saying that I can't see him anymore. It's just like, well, we're not as thrilled as we were.
We used to be thrilled, but then we found out that he actually is intelligent. And, ow!
A heathen.
Okay, real quick, just one last article. This is about another advertising thing that's going to be great. It's going to be Washington, D.C. I'm actually going to be in D.C. for the inauguration, and I'm hoping that the posters are still up, because I'm really excited about this. This is from CNN.com. Group's new Christian message: be good, not godly. You better watch out. There's a new combatant in the Christmas wars. That didn't work. Anyway, ads proclaiming, quote, "Why believe in a God? Just be good for goodness' sake," end quote, will appear on Washington buses starting next week and running through December. The American Humanist Association unveiled the provocative $40,000 holiday ad campaign Tuesday. In lifting lyrics from Santa Claus is Coming to Town, the Washington-based group is wading into what has become a perennial debate over commercialism, religion in the public square, and the meaning of Christmas. "We're trying to reach our audience, and sometimes in order to reach an audience, everybody has to hear you," said Fred Edwards, spokesman for the humanist group. "Our reason for doing it during the holidays is there are an awful lot of agnostics, atheists, and other types of non-theists who feel a little alone during the holidays because of its association with traditional religion." To that end, the ads and posters will include a link to a website that will seek to connect and organize like-minded thinkers in the D.C. area, Edwards said. Edwards said the purpose isn't to argue that God doesn't exist or change minds about a deity, although, quote, "we are trying to plant a seed of rational thought and critical thinking and questioning in people's minds." The group defines humanism as a progressive philosophy of life that, without theism, affirms our responsibility to lead ethical lives of value to self and humanity. Last month, the British Humanist Association caused a ruckus announcing a similar campaign on London buses with the message, "There's probably no God, now stop worrying and enjoy your life." In Washington, the humanist campaign comes as conservative Christian groups gear up their efforts to keep Christ in Christmas. In the past 5 years, groups such as the American Family Association and the Catholic League have criticized or threatened boycotts of retailers who use generic holiday greetings. In mid-October, the American Family Association started selling buttons that say, "It's okay to say Merry Christmas." The humanist entry into the marketplace of ideas did not impress AFA President Tim Weldman.
It's a stupid ad, he said. How do we define good if we don't believe in God? God is in his word. The Bible tells us what's good and bad and right and wrong. If we are each ourselves defining what's good, it's going to be a crazy world.
Also, on Tuesday, the Liberty Council, a conservative Christian legal group based in Orlando, Florida, launched its 6th annual Friend or Foe Christmas campaign. Liberty Council has intervened in disputes over nativity scenes and government bans on Christmas decorations, among other things.
It's the ultimate cringe to say there is no God at a time when millions of people around the world celebrate the birth of Christ, said Matthew Staver, the group's chairman and dean of the Liberty University School of Law. Certainly they have a right to believe what they want, but this is insulting.
Best-selling books by authors such as Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens have fueled interest in the New Atheism, a more in-your-face argument against God's existence. Yet few Americans describe themselves as atheist or agnostic. A Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life poll from earlier this year found 92% of Americans believe in God. There was no debate at the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority over whether to take the ad. Spokeswoman Lisa Feiberstein said the agency accepts ads that aren't obscene or pornographic. And that's the end of that article. Yeah, I personally think it's great. I think everyone needs to get the freaking stick out of their booty and move on with their lives. It's a way. Listen, atheists don't have churches. We don't have churches where we can get together. We don't have any sort of specific area, like, you know, gymnasts, they can all go to the gym. Weightlifters can go to the gym. I don't know why I had all exercise ideas.
Swimmers.
Swimmers can go to the pool. Thank you.
Archers.
Archers can go to the archery range.
Golfers can go to the driving range. But anyway, yeah, and I like the Christian saying that, and they kind of were hinting at it, that these ads are somehow intruding on their Christmas, when in all reality, as a Jewish person, being raised as a Jew, I don't consider myself anymore, being raised, you know, around the Christmas, it really is shoved in your face just everywhere, whether it be commercials or stores or this and that. It's just shoved in your face. And when we have a couple of bus ads and a couple of billboards that you look at and for 2 seconds and turn away from, suddenly we're intruding on their fun. It's a yeah. joke.
We're infringing on everyone else's rights, you know.
Yeah, and I love the idea that God in his word, the Bible, tells us what's good and bad and right and wrong. Ooh, if we followed the Bible to the letter, it would be a crazy world.
Another thing that that annoys me with this is that they're saying, like, well, how can you have a sense of community or saying that, like, not having one religion is not going to happen in this country. So saying that religion brings unity is crap because we have an increase in different religions around here. I mean, in this area, there is a more of a Jewish population. In other areas, there's a higher Islamic one. There's a higher Christian one. There's higher. You know, and then there's even divisions between different versions of Christianity. So saying that religion brings people together is true on a smaller scale, but on like a national level or especially a global level, it's crap.
And it's not like these ads, mind you, to elaborate on that point, are taking away from people's ability to enjoy Christmas or to get together. We're not doing anything besides putting up a couple ads for those people who are frankly sick of having Christmas shoved in their face, I included. And it's only just, good, and it does not infringe on anybody's rights or religion.
Just as a little thing, as another atheist with a different viewpoint, I personally love Christmas. I'm happy to say Merry Christmas. Christmas has been so diluted from the Christian message, it's ridiculous. It's the adoption of pagan rituals and symbols.
The solstice.
It honestly would be different if the billboard said, "Hey kids, Santa isn't real," and then gave like a website. That would
wow.
be different.
Oh my God. Hey kids, Santa isn't real. P.S. Adults, God isn't real either.
That would be funny. I honestly maybe we can get a couple dollars together and then try to get up a billboard of that.
Oh, that would be fun. And just going back to this real quick, it says God in his word, the Bible, tells us what's good and bad and right and wrong. I'm just going to read Deuteronomy 13. Starting from the beginning of the chapter, it says, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dream of dreams, for your God proveth to you. Oh, wow, this actually goes a lot longer than I expected to. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God.
They really love the capital punishment, the Old Testament. They were really just throwing that around. They did save a lot on prison costs, however. That they did.
Yeah. If Christians followed the Bible to the T, everyone who is not a Christian, according to Deuteronomy 13 and God himself, according to them, would be put to death. And if that's not a crazy world, I don't know what is.
And forget about just having all the Christians marching around. What is a Christian? I mean, yes, some people, you say it's a Catholic. Yes, Fred Phelps, he's convinced that him and his 110, you know,
don't get
people
me started
brood,
on Fred Phelps.
Yeah, him and his 110 people brood are the only Christians. You'd have everybody running around with AK-47 shooting each other. And then he claims that this is where we get morality from. Yeah, right.
Don't. Please. Okay. We're going to be signing off now. It is now 6:30. Just want to remind everyone that you're listening to WHRW 90.5 FM Binghamton. And you just finished listening to Atheists at the Table. We're going to be on every Wednesday, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., except not next week because we're all going home for Thanksgiving break. And then we've got another couple of shows, and then we're gone for Christmas, and then we'll be back again, probably at a different time. But again, we'll be on in 2 weeks, 5:30 to 6:30 on Wednesday. And just want to remind everyone, you can send us a message on at our Gmail account, atheisttable@gmail.com. Remember, the E comes before the I. And we also have a blog up if you want to come visit us and take the podcast down if you missed some of the shows and want to hear them. It's atheisttable.blogspot.com. Again, that's atheisttable.blogspot.com. We'll also have some interesting essays and articles up and personal stories that haven't been shared on the show previously, and it should be a good idea. It's new, it's in development. Anyway, just want to thank everyone for listening. We're going to close out with Bon Jovi's "Living on a Prayer." Thanks everyone again. We'll see you in 2 weeks.